John Locke was a pivotal figure in the development of modern Western philosophy during the late 17th century, a time marked by intellectual upheaval and the growing importance of individual rights and reason. Renowned for his contributions to liberal thought, Locke's works laid foundational ideas for political theory, particularly concerning government, human rights, and the nature of knowledge. While our previous episode introduced his life and broader influences, this deep dive will explore Locke's essential moral philosophies, particularly as articulated in seminal texts like Two Treatises of Government and An Essay Concerning Human Understanding. We will delve into his central moral ideas, examine specific arguments, assess their relevance to contemporary issues, and consider criticisms and responses to his views. At the heart of Locke's philosophy is the concept of natural rights. He asserted that all individuals inherently possess rights to life, liberty, and property. These rights are not granted by a government or a society, but are intrinsic to human beings. Locke contended that the primary role of government is to protect these rights. If a government fails in this duty or becomes oppressive, individuals have the moral right to overthrow it. This idea is crucial to Locke's political philosophy and has influenced modern democratic thought. In Two Treatises of Government, Locke articulates his views on government and state of nature. He posits that in a hypothetical state of nature, characterized by perfect freedom and equality, individuals are bound by natural law, a moral code discoverable through reason. According to Locke, this natural law dictates that no one should harm another in their life, health, liberty, or possessions. The state of nature is not a chaotic free-for-all. Rather, it is grounded in mutual respect and moral obligations, where individuals recognize each other's rights. To illustrate this, consider a simple, contemporary example: social media platforms. The digital realm often reflects the chaos that can ensue when the effort to protect natural rights falters. Issues like online harassment, privacy violations, and the spread of misinformation challenge individuals' rights to safety and property. Locke's framework raises pertinent questions about how governments and private entities should protect individuals' rights in an ever-evolving technological landscape. Can policies be designed to safeguard these rights while balancing the freedom of expression that defines social media? The discourse around content moderation, data privacy, and user rights echoes Locke's concerns about the protection of individual liberties. Locke further develops his moral philosophy through the concept of consent in governance. He asserts that legitimate political authority derives from the consent of the governed. This notion diverges from earlier philosophical traditions that suggest a divine right or inheritance as legitimizing authority. Locke introduced the social contract theory, where individuals collectively agree to form a government to protect their rights. This contract is not merely an agreement, it reflects a moral obligation. Citizens consent not just to be governed, but to protect one another's rights as a community. In this way, he links morality to justice, arguing that just governance ultimately serves the moral purpose of safeguarding individual rights. In a modern context, examining public health policies illustrates this. When governments impose mandates related to vaccinations or health protocols, they invoke Locke's principle of collective consent and the moral obligation to protect public health. Though these measures may curtail individual freedoms temporarily, they attempt to uphold the rights to life and health for the population at large. The dialogue surrounding individual choice versus community safety continues to be a critical political and ethical issue, demonstrating Locke's enduring relevance. Locke also engaged deeply with the idea of ownership and property rights. He famously argued that property becomes one's own when an individual mixes their labor with natural resources. For example, if a person cultivates a piece of land and harvests its crops, that land, now improved by human effort, rightfully belongs to them. This labor theory of property asserts that ownership is grounded in the dignity of labor and creativity, rather than arbitrary claims. However, Locke concedes that there are limits. He introduces the spoilage limitation, stating that one should only appropriate as much as can be used without letting it spoil. This perspective invites reflection on modern issues of resource allocation, environmental ethics, and intellectual property. Consider the ongoing debates regarding land use and housing in urban areas. As cities expand and populations grow, ethical questions arise concerning the rights of property owners versus the needs of the broader community. How do we balance an individual's property rights with societal needs for affordable housing? The Lockean framework encourages us to think critically about the limits of property rights in light of justice and community welfare. Despite these significant contributions, Locke's philosophies are not without their criticisms. One prevalent critique is the notion that his concepts of natural rights and consent imply that all individuals, regardless of race, gender, or social status, have equal access to these rights. Yet, during Locke's own time, not all groups enjoyed the full benefits of the rights deemed inherent by Locke. His apparent exclusion of women and enslaved individuals raises questions about the universality of his moral assertions. Critics argue that Locke's framework inadvertently endorses existing power structures by failing to address the systemic inequalities that inhibit true consent and equality. In response, later philosophers and advocates of social justice offered refinements to Locke's ideas. Thinkers such as Jean-Jacques Rousseau and Karl Marx challenged Locke's individualism and property rights, promoting alternative visions that emphasize collectivism and equality. Their critiques reflect a growing concern over the limits of Locke's philosophy in addressing the complexities of societal structures and relationships of power. This ongoing discourse showcases the need for continual reassessment of moral philosophies as societies evolve. Connecting Locke to earlier and later figures, we might consider Thomas Hobbes's social contract theory. While Hobbes shared with Locke the idea that governance arises from a social contract, their views diverge fundamentally. Hobbes believed that in the state of nature, life is solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short, advocating for absolute authority to maintain order. In contrast, Locke viewed the state of nature as a space of potentiality and moral law, leading to his emphasis on rights and liberties. This contrast highlights the historical development of social contract theory and the evolution of thought in Western moral philosophy. Moving forward in the trajectory of thought, Locke's influence can be traced to Enlightenment thinkers such as Immanuel Kant, who engaged with similar ideas of autonomy and moral law. Kant further distilled the essence of moral obligation, suggesting that individuals possess intrinsic worth and dignity. He emphasized the importance of moral laws grounded in reason, aligning with Locke's belief in rationality as central to understanding rights. Kant transformed these ideas, echoing Locke's influence while providing a more rigorous ethical framework. As we reflect on Locke's contributions to moral philosophy, it invites us to consider how these philosophical ideas manifest in our own lives. Locke's emphasis on rights, consent, and the role of government in protecting liberties remains crucial in our current societal landscape. We encounter challenges related to individual rights daily, from the ethical considerations surrounding technology and personal privacy to broader debates about governance and civil liberties in a globalized world. What might it mean for you as a citizen, a consumer, or an individual to engage with these ideas? Locke prompts us to reflect on how we balance our rights with our responsibilities to others. His insistence on the moral obligation to protect one another's rights speaks to our collective understanding of justice, inviting us to contemplate how we navigate our relationships within our communities and the societies we inhabit. In traversing Locke's moral philosophy, we begin to appreciate the complexity and depth of his ideas, exploring their implications beyond mere historical interest. Locke serves as both a mirror and a lens, reflecting the ongoing struggles for liberty, while providing a framework for moral inquiry that demands our attention in today's world. The invitation, then, is to carry these reflections forward in our lives as engaged citizens and thoughtful individuals navigating the intricate landscape of morality and ethics today. Locke's examination of personal identity further contributes to the richness of his moral philosophy, particularly in an essay concerning human understanding. In this foundational text, he investigates the nature of knowledge and what it means to be human, emphasizing the concept of consciousness as central to personal identity. Locke argues that it is not the substance of the body or the soul that defines you, but rather the continuity of consciousness over time. This means that your identity is tied to your memories and experiences. If you can remember an action, it is part of you, even if your physical body changes. Imagine applying this idea in today's world of rapidly advancing technology, particularly in the realm of artificial intelligence. As we grapple with the implications of sophisticated AI systems capable of mimicking human behavior and possibly even emotions, Locke's insights raise essential questions about personhood and identity. For instance, if an AI can recall past interactions and respond in a way that mimics consciousness, does it possess something akin to personal identity? And if a human experiences significant memory loss through trauma or illness, does their identity fundamentally change? Such questions remind us of the importance of consciousness in defining who we are, and they challenge us to think critically about the implications of technology in our lives. Moreover, Locke's ideas about personal identity touch upon contemporary debates in bioethics, particularly concerning identity in the context of medical procedures that alter or erase memory. Consider situations where individuals undergo neurosurgery or therapy designed to alleviate traumatic memories. In these contexts, how should we regard changes to personal identity? If memories are integral to our essence, do these procedures modify our very selves? Locke's framework compels us to grapple with the ethics of these medical interventions and to consider what it means to preserve personal identity amidst transformative experiences. Another area of Locke's moral philosophy worth exploring is his views on toleration, particularly found in his letter concerning toleration. Here, Locke advocates for a society where individuals are permitted to hold varying beliefs without the fear of persecution, asserting that civil government should have no power over religious matters. He posits that faith cannot be compelled through force. Genuine belief must stem from individual conviction. This principle of religious toleration is foundational in discussions about freedom of conscience and has had lasting effects on liberal democratic societies. In contemporary politics, Locke's advocacy for toleration can be observed in the ongoing discourse surrounding religious freedom and pluralism. For instance, debates about the rights of minority religions or non-religious individuals to participate in societal processes, such as the teaching of differing worldviews in public education, reflect Locke's enduring influence. When examining instances of discrimination, whether based on religious beliefs or other personal identities, we can trace discussions back to Locke's insistence on the importance of protecting individual liberties. The notion that government must remain neutral in matters of belief invites us to reflect on how we engage with diverse perspectives in our own communities. Furthermore, Locke's ideas about toleration extend beyond religion. They encompass a broader commitment to diversity in thought and expression. In our rapidly diversifying societies, fostering an environment that allows for differing views and lifestyles is crucial. Locke encourages us to engage in respectful dialogue as a means of upholding individual rights, highlighting the necessity of civil discourse in a democratic society. This notion compels us to think about how we navigate free speech and the responsibility that comes with it. If we are to honor the principles Locke espouses, we must acknowledge the value of dissenting opinions and the moral obligation to uphold the rights of individuals to express those views. Yet, despite the profound significance of Locke's work, criticisms remain, especially concerning the limits of his ideas on toleration. Some argue that Locke's emphasis on individual rights can lead to a form of liberalism that prioritizes personal liberties at the expense of social justice and mutual obligation. Critics assert that while Locke advocates for toleration, his framework may not be robust enough to address the power dynamics inherent in society. This critique has gained traction in modern times, where discussions surrounding safe spaces and hate speech laws come into play. By exploring the boundaries of free expression, we must contend with the question of where toleration ends and harmful rhetoric begins. Engaging with these criticisms allows us to consider how social justice movements have expanded the conversation surrounding individual rights and collective responsibility. Contemporary thinkers and activists, notably John Rawls, with his theory of justice as fairness, have sought to refine the concepts Locke introduced. Rawls argues that a just society is one that prioritizes the least advantaged, echoing the call for a more equitable distribution of rights and resources that takes into account historical injustices. This evolution of thought reflects the continuing relevance of Locke's ideas while challenging us to think critically about how they may fall short in addressing modern inequalities. Connecting Locke to the broader philosophical canon, one might consider the contribution of John Stuart Mill, who built upon and adapted Locke's ideas in significant ways, particularly concerning individual rights and liberty. Mill's On Liberty expands the conversation on personal freedom, arguing against tyranny of the majority and emphasizing the importance of individuality as a counterbalance to societal pressures. Mill's work invites us to reflect on how we can uphold the liberties of all individuals while fostering a collective sense of community and responsibility. Moving from Mill, we can also examine the contributions of later figures like Martha Nussbaum, who offers a contemporary perspective on ethical considerations related to justice and well-being. Nussbaum's capabilities approach emphasizes the importance of enabling individuals to function and thrive in their society. This approach aligns with and critiques Locke's focus on rights. It advocates for a broader conception of individual potential that addresses systemic barriers to achieving personal fulfillment. Nussbaum's insights urge us to consider how we not only protect rights but also actively promote equality in practical terms, prompting a dialogue between individual freedoms and collective well-being that Locke instigated. As we reflect on Locke's contributions to moral philosophy, we must recognize the complexities inherent in applying his ideas to the world we inhabit. His notions of natural rights, personal identity, and toleration remain vital to understanding modern ethical discussions. Locke challenges us to ask pressing questions about the nature of justice and the role of government in our lives. He invites us to consider how the principles we embrace shape our social structures, values, and interactions with one another. In navigating the intricacies of modern society, Locke's work prompts reflection on internalized ethical obligations and the impact of our actions on others. How do we reconcile our rights with our responsibilities in the face of injustice? As we confront challenges ranging from political polarization to issues of equity and access in our communities, Locke's ideas serve as a vital lens through which to assess our humanity. Ultimately, John Locke's moral philosophy offers a pathway to understanding not just the legal and political frameworks that govern us, but the ethical dimensions of our daily lives. The interplay between individual rights and collective well-being continues to shape our world, urging us to engage thoughtfully with the principles Locke laid out centuries ago. As we carry them forward, the task before us is to engage earnestly with these ideas, to apply them to our lives, and to interrogate how they guide us as we strive for a more just and equitable society. It remains our responsibility to acknowledge the complexities of our interconnected lives, hunting for solutions that honor both the individual and the community in the intricate tapestry of modern existence. Locke's insistence on the importance of rationality and reason in moral discourse extends beyond just political authority and rights. It informs his understanding of human knowledge and ethics. This framework is particularly evident in An Essay Concerning Human Understanding, where he lays the groundwork for empiricism, asserting that knowledge comes primarily through sensory experience rather than innate ideas. This notion encourages a critical examination of concepts such as morality, emphasizing that moral judgments should be based on experiences rather than dogma. Locke's empirical approach to understanding human behavior implies that our moral frameworks can evolve based on accumulated experiences and observations. This perspective has crucial implications in today's rapidly changing society, filled with diverse ethical dilemmas. For instance, consider the debate on the ethics of artificial intelligence. As technology rapidly advances, our understanding of morality must adapt to incorporate new experiences and consequences. By applying Locke's empirical principles, we can advocate for ethical guidelines that evolve in response to the impacts of AI on human rights and societal structure, adapting our moral reflections to current realities rather than relying on outdated frameworks. Moreover, Locke's empirical philosophy invites us to evaluate the impact of cultural narratives on our moral understanding. In an age where diverse perspectives often induce conflict, his framework for understanding knowledge and morality emphasizes the necessity to consider varied experiences. When considering contemporary issues such as police reform or social justice, Lockean empiricism prompts us to gather evidence from lived experiences and societal data to inform our moral conclusions. This approach encourages open dialogue and a focus on evidence-based policies, facilitating conversations that involve listening to marginalized voices. Allowing empirical evidence to shape moral discussions ensures that ethical considerations remain relevant and grounded in the complexities of human experience. The dynamism of Locke's moral philosophy is evidenced not only through its adaptability to contemporary issues, but also in how it pushes us to think critically about the nature of community. Central to Locke's political philosophy is the idea of a social contract, which posits that individuals mutually agree to form a society to protect their rights. This principle raises significant questions about community responsibilities. In our increasingly interdependent world, the balance between individual rights and community obligations becomes crucial. When does the exercise of one's rights cross into the territory of infringing upon another's rights? Locke's framework compels us to contend with these questions, reminding us of the moral imperative to engage in community building and collective welfare. This leads us into discussions surrounding social justice movements that emphasize collective action against systemic injustices. For instance, consider the debate over affirmative action in education and employment. Advocates argue that measures must be taken to correct historical injustices and inequalities that hinder marginalized communities' access to opportunities. In this conversation, Locke's ideas about consent and community obligations provoke critical inquiry into the extent of individual freedom when juxtaposed against the necessity for fairness and equity. This tension is essential to navigating contemporary ethical dilemmas as we consider how best to foster justice while respecting individual rights. Moreover, Locke's views on toleration and individual moral agency are particularly relevant when contemplating issues of freedom of speech and expression. In an era where social media platforms amplify diverse views, protecting speech without condemning harmful rhetoric poses a significant challenge. Locke's insistence that faith and belief cannot be compelled is a timeless reminder that engaging with diverse perspectives, regardless of their popularity or acceptance, is crucial to a functioning democracy. However, the modern extension of this view presents a paradox. How do we ensure that freedom of expression does not enable hate speech or incite violence? Locke's ideas encourage a nuanced examination of these tensions, highlighting the importance of fostering a dialogue that considers the societal impact of individual expressions. Yet, despite Locke's influential ideas, he is not without his limitations, which have been critically examined in the centuries following his work. One recurring criticism concerns his reliance on the rational individual and the presumption of equality among all citizens within the social contract. Critics argue that Locke's philosophical framework, while emphasizing individual rights, falters in accounting for historical inequalities and structural barriers that inhibit true consent and participation in governance. These critiques have led to important dialogues in contemporary moral philosophy regarding power dynamics, privilege, and inclusion. For example, Scholars like Patricia Hill Collins and Kimberly Crenshaw have elaborated on intersectionality, arguing that individuals experience overlapping forms of oppression based on race, gender, class, and other identities. Such insights challenge the universal applicability of Locke's assertions about rights and social contracts, prompting us to reconsider who gets to enter the social contract and whose rights are prioritized. Addressing these criticisms enables us to expand our understanding of Locke's moral philosophy and adapt it to contemporary social justice movements, ensuring that all voices are included in discussions about rights and governance. Moreover, responses to Locke's exclusions have materialized in the form of alternative social contracts proposed by thinkers like Charles Mills, who, in his work The Racial Contract, critiques the traditional conception of the social contract as a Eurocentric construct that systematically dehumanizes non-white populations. Mills urges us to rethink the conceptual foundations of rights and governance to include a broader understanding of social contracts that account for historical colonialism and its lasting impact. This critical engagement with Locke's ideas encourages us to engage thoughtfully with the dialogue surrounding justice and representation in governance. Locke's philosophies can also serve as a foundation for examining modern debates concerning political authority and governance dynamics in the context of technological advancements. In this age of information technology, the role of government in regulating technology represents a critical ethical frontier. For instance, the rapid rise of surveillance technology prompts pressing questions about individual privacy rights and state authority. Locke's principles of natural rights and the moral role of government imply that citizens should consent to surveillance measures only if they serve the public good and safeguard individual rights. This discourse aligns with contemporary concerns about civil liberties in the era of big data, highlighting the necessity for citizens to engage in discussions about how their rights are respected in the face of advancing technologies. Furthermore, the complexities of AI introduce new ethical considerations around agency, accountability, and moral responsibility. When algorithms determine outcomes based on biased datasets, the moral implications of these decisions reflect back on our ethical frameworks. Locke's emphasis on reason and individual agency encourages a re-examination of accountability. Who is responsible for decisions made by AI? Is it the designers, the users, or the institutions deploying such technologies? Addressing these dilemmas requires a careful appraisal of Locke's principles of rights and governance, infusing them with contemporary ethical scrutiny to navigate such uncharted territories successfully. In examining the trajectory of Locke's influence on modern moral thought, it becomes evident that his contributions extend well beyond his assertions of rights and governance. Engaging with his philosophical legacy encourages us to consider the broader implications of individual agency, personal identity, and knowledge within our moral frameworks. This engagement highlights the enduring relevance of Locke's ideas, reminding us that philosophy serves not just as an intellectual exercise, but as a critical guide for navigating the complexities of human existence. Locke's work also prompts reflection on personal identity in the context of potential technological disruption. As we continue to interact with evolving technologies that reshape our lives, the questioned boundaries of identity echo his arguments on consciousness and personal continuity. This reflection also intersects with ongoing discussions about mental health, particularly in understanding how trauma and adverse experiences affect one's sense of self. Locke's ideas encourage a holistic view of identity that acknowledges the interplay of memories, experiences, and external influences, inviting us to engage compassionately with those grappling with such challenges. Ultimately, Locke's moral philosophy serves as a robust framework for engaging with pressing ethical questions today. His insights around individual rights, the role of government, and the nature of toleration challenge us to reckon with how we engage with one another in our society. As we navigate the intricate ethical landscape shaped by technology, social justice movements, and identity politics, Locke's legacy offers valuable lenses for understanding our responsibilities as ethical beings. As we move forward in our personal lives and communities, the imperative to reflect on the interplay between rights and responsibilities remains crucial. Locke's insistence on the moral obligation to protect one another's rights serves as a guide, compelling us to become engaged citizens who prioritize justice for all. Not only does this reflection on Locke's work enrich our understanding of moral philosophy, but it also invites us to grapple purposefully with the complexities of our interconnected lives. In navigating the questions that arise in our day-to-day existence, whether in how we engage with differing viewpoints, confront systemic injustices, or contemplate the ethical boundaries of emerging technologies, Locke's insights remind us that our moral choices carry profound implications. Embracing these philosophical inquiries equips us to shape a more just society, prompting us to think critically about the nature of our shared humanity while upholding the foundational rights that allow us to thrive. The journey through Locke's moral philosophy is not an end in itself, but an exploration that places us in lively conversation with the ethical dilemmas we will undoubtedly encounter.